Well, if you look at the title, Evaluating the Current Production Practices to Improve the Efficiency in Cotton Production, it sounds very economic-y. And that's because this is basically an economics talk, but it's also an agronomy talk. Me being an agronomist, I'm not brave enough to give this in the economics portion, so we're going to give it here. But I'm the former East Georgia cotton specialist, recently moved over to industry with Stoneville Cotton. And my collaborator, Dr. Yang Xuan Lu from the Tipton campus, we worked on this together. Now, this is a cotton management systems trial. Okay, so I'm going to get to that on the next couple slides and kind of explain that in depth. But in Georgia, I feel like we have three main grower types. We have about a third of them that are going to say, I'm going to do exactly what Extension tells me to do. I'm going to follow the production guide to a T. We have another third of them that are going to say, I don't have time for all that. I'm going to put out everything, plus I'll listen to my retail guy or my consultant or whoever that may be. We have another third of them that will say, if I do everything UGA tells me to do, I'm going to go broke. Okay. But of those three management systems, which one is really the more profitable system? And we don't have a whole lot of data on that, actually none. So as extension specialists, we really make an effort to, you know, give recommendations based on economics. What's the most profitable reason that you're doing, say, seed and rate, fertility, insect management, irrigation, disease, etc. But nothing has really been done, at least in Georgia, where we take all those components and put them together in one management system, or in a systems trial. So our three treatments that we have, the first one was a strict UGA recommendation, where we tried our best to follow the production guide, basically to a T for everything. The second management system was where we basically just threw the kitchen sink at it and put as many, just max inputs, additional irrigation and whatnot. And then the third one was a low input system where we tried to basically save money by saving inputs. Okay. So as far as methods, this was done at the Southeast Georgia Research and Extension Center in Midville, Georgia. It was a randomized complete block design. We had large plots. They were 16 rows wide by about 250 foot long. And each of those 16 row units, we were able to individually irrigate using drip irrigation. So not only did we get yield, but we also were able to get fiber quality from the plots through our UGA microgen. Now, as far as our treatments and what we did for each treatment, these are the kind of standard treatments that were the same for all of our three treatments. Our pre-plant fertilizer was the same for all three. We did not change our weed control system, and we also did not change our defoliation system. So we got input costs for each of those based out of our UGA budgets. Now, the things that were different, and I'm going to kind of walk through each of them. I'm showing 2018 and 2019 here on the slide, but the one mistake that we did have, and it was my fault with communication with our farm manager, as far as nitrogen goes, for our UGA system, we used basically just a soil test recommendation, put out the required nitrogen. For our low input, it was the same. So I didn't lower fertilizer. That was a mistake on my end. But our high end, we put out an additional 25 units of nitrogen there. As far as seeding rate goes, on our UGA, we used a 2.5 seed per foot seeding rate, which is pretty standard in Georgia, compared to a 2 seed per foot on the low end and a 3 seed per foot on the high end. We applied Alticarb on our high end, whereas with UGA, the thrips predictor model was showing low thrips pressure, and we had negative nematode sampling, so we didn't put out Alticarb there. On our high end, we put a imidacloprid shot for aphids early in both years. We also put a pre-bloom mepaquat application at Pinhead Square. For stink bug control, for the UGA method, we employed scouting, where we did weekly scouting and only sprayed stink bugs when they were needed, and we actually only needed one spray for stink bugs over 2 years, whereas the high end, we just did a 357 spray where we sprayed biogen at third, fifth, and seventh week of bloom, and then none for the low end. from Epiquot, on our UGA method, we kind of did a standard two-shot approach where we sprayed normal rates at first bloom and then 2 weeks after first bloom. We only did one application on the low end, and then for the high end, we just increased the rates on that. Our high end, we put two applications of fungicide out. Again, we used scouting on our UGA method. Target spot was not present, nor was areolic mildew, so we did not put a fungicide application out. We did put one foliar fertilizer application out on the high end. Now for irrigation, we just used the standard UGA checkbook method out of our production guide, which was just a weekly irrigation minus rainfall. For the low end, I used 50% of that checkbook method, and for the high production, we used 150% of that checkbook method. And then total sprayer trips across the field and total input costs for each of the three treatments for both years at the bottom. Now, this is where I would have never thought about these other credits and costs. This is where the economist really came, you know, helped me out. But I would have never thought that making more cotton, you know, it costs more to pick it. We've got more wrap. We've got more time. Costs more to gin it because we've got more. And then we've also got a little more seed value because we have more seed. But those are those for the 2 years. Now, what we looked at was net return per acre, which was lint price multiplied by lint yield plus seed price multiplied by seed yield, subtracting production costs and subtracting our harvest and ginning costs. Now, we looked at it two different ways. We analyzed it using the loan rate, which was 52 cent plus premiums, and we also looked at it for both years. We looked at the market price and what net return per acre at the market price. So I'm going to show both of those when we move forward in a little bit. But just looking at the yields, in the greens, the low, gray is UGA, and red is high. We can see from 2018 to 2019, we had a pretty big increase in yield in all three treatments. But the one thing that I want to point out, if you look at the low end, you guys probably can't read it, but there's almost a 400-pound increase in yield from 18 to 19. 18 was a good cotton year in East Georgia. 19 was a really, really good cotton year in East Georgia. But we had a 400-pound increase on the low end, a 300-pound increase on the high end, and only a 180-pound increase on that, or excuse me, 300 on the UGA method, and only 183 on the high end. Now, this was interesting. This is net return per acre at the loan rate for 2018. We had a big difference in yield, big difference in input costs, and the net return per acre at that 52 cent plus premiums was nearly identical. I actually almost got a chuckle out of it when we first looked at this last year. Now, it was a little bit different in 2019. We had a trend where our low input actually made us more money than the high input, and the UGA method had about a 26-pound advantage over the UGA method. Now, when we looked at this at the market rate, this is 2018 again, you know, the extra yield that we got in that high input system we were able to overcome those extra input costs. We're actually more profitable using a high input method. Now, that changed again in 2019. The low input method was actually the more profitable system in 2019, you know, because we had that extra yield. That the low input method was, you know, had a 400-pound difference between 2018 and 2019, and that was the most profitable method at the market price in 19. Now, looking at the two-year sum at the loan rate, this is low cotton prices, loan rate 52 cent plus premiums. That low input method was the more profitable method over the two-year study, 2018 and 2019. 30 pounds additional, or $30 additional per acre over the UGA system. Now, this is a two-year sum. I forgot to put up there, but this is the two-year sum at market rate. The high input method was the most profitable method over the 2018 and 2019 using the market values, which was 73 cent in 2018 and 68 cent plus premiums in 2019. Okay, so some conclusions when analyzed at the low cotton price or loan rate, the low input system was the most profitable system. But when analyzed at market price, the high input system was the most profitable over 2 years. And one thing, especially in Georgia, we don't really consider cotton price when we talk about recommendations as far as any cotton inputs. And I think that's something that we might need to start thinking about more when we do start making recommendations going forward. But that's all I've got. I'd like to acknowledge the Georgia Cotton Commission for funding, as well as Cotton Incorporated. Anthony Black is the superintendent at the Midville station where I was located. He's fantastic to work with. Travis Woodard was my research technician that also was incredible to work with. And then I'd like to thank my other UGA cotton team members for their input on recommendations that went into this study. But I'm finished, and I'll take any questions if we have some. Yep. Yeah, so right. They were irrigated. They were all irrigated with drip tape. We used for the UGA method, we took the checkbook method out of the production guide, which is weeks of bloom, you need a certain amount of water, and then we subtracted rainfall from that. So we had 100% for UGA, 50% of that for low end, and 150% irrigation for the high end. But as far as the yields between years, there's a few reasons. Planting date played into that. We had a later planting date in 2018. We also had a hurricane that came through in 2018, which didn't impact this location a lot because we're on the other side of the state. But we did have some impact from that. Quality did not vary significantly among any of them. And Serena may could answer that a little bit better, but the loan value did not have any differences. The differences were all yield. Yep.